T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line, live from Cardinals Spring Training and the D.R. Hughes Homes Broadcast Center. Once again, Matt Pauley on KMOX.
I wish that I was in the T.R. Hughes broadcast booth in Jupiter, Florida. I am not, and I am not Matt Pauley. I am Joe Pott, in for Matt Pauley here tonight and tomorrow. I think we have Cardinals on, too, coming up this week. So Matt will be back this week, I do believe. But Joe Pott with you here for tonight and tomorrow anyway. And while we're not live from spring training, we are talking a little Cardinals. We talked some in the first hour, talking about the extension that Oliver Marmol received. Heard some comments from John Mozeliak. I want to let you hear some comments from Oliver Marmol as well on kind of what the extension means for him and exactly what some of the things that he is thinking and maybe what that extension does for him.
I mean, my hope this whole time would be that I do this here for a very long time, so it wasn't a matter of getting to spring training and figuring out if it's a good fit. We want to do this here. My family and I want to do this in St. Louis. We respect the organization a ton. It's all we've ever known. So it wasn't a matter of fit as much as proving that I'm the right person to take us forward.
Same kind of really sentiment that we heard from John Mozeliak, right? And Oliver Marmol, as you would expect, also had a lot of good things to say about his coaches.
That whole group that's behind you right now, that's the reason I do this. And I could have done a better job last year. And you sit in the offseason, you think of the how, and you make sure that you don't repeat certain things. But getting back to that group and understanding how to lead them well, that includes the staff, that includes the players. So you do a lot of self-reflection, especially when you get beat up as much as you did last year. And it's an understatement to say that I'm extremely looking forward to this upcoming year.
Again, as you would expect from Oliver Marmol, praising the coaches, the players, and excited to get back to baseball this year. And here's the big one from Oliver Marmol, what this extension does for him.
We talked about it quite a bit. It's extension, no extension. The expectations for our organization, for our fan base, is to win. And I go about it the same exact way, one way or another. But I do think it removes certain distractions that allow us to focus on what's at hand without having to kind of answer these questions moving forward.
And that is really what that's similar to what I think, we played at the beginning of hour number one when John Mozeliak said we knew he was going to be our guy. Why wait to do it? So he said the same thing. It removes those distractions. If they were going to get to this point, at some point, whether it was going to be, at the All-Star break, at the end of the year, however that came, however that was going to come, if it didn't come now, it was going to come. So why shouldn't it come now? That's where both of those kind of ended up for me, is it was going to happen that way. So since it was going to happen that way, then it might as well happen that way before the season, and they feel like the outcome, therefore, is easier to deal with for Oliver Marmol, easier to deal with probably for players. You don't have a lame duck manager. You don't have the worry or the questions, the uncertainty, any of those things. The distractions is the word that he used for it, but it's all of those things wrapped into one. It's what was going to be the outcome Why not make it the outcome now? That's what the Cardinals did. So that's kind of the last word there. And again, just to touch on this again, that I think that most people in sports know what contracts mean in sports, and that's not necessarily a whole lot, right? They're not guaranteed contracts, at least not for the manager of the St. Louis Cardinals. So if things go south again, if things aren't good, then, you know, that we'll be talking about somebody different, regardless, whether it's at the end of this year or it's midway through 2025, whatever the case may be. It's not that this is, you know, set in stone, for lack of a better term. But for now, it's as solid as it gets that Oliver Marmol is your manager for the foreseeable future. Another thing we touched on in that first hour was we talked a lot of UFL, and we talked with Pat Ruffino, who's one of the primary folks covering the Battlehawks for the UFL News Hub. I just wanted to play this one little piece here before we get into the rest of hour number two, because we talked about them being the UFL, them picking the Dome at America Center in St. Louis for the championship game. If you didn't get to hear this, this is the UFL president talking about, it's Russ Brandon, talking about what made him know St. Louis was going to be the right place.
I saw 7,000 fans at 9 in the morning on opening day and just saw the passion and the commitment, dedication they had. And also, going into the building that day, obviously there were over 38,000 fans, but the fact that people were already in Battle Hawk gear, in costumes, the roar in that building was considerable, and I was like, wow, this market is back. And I know 2020 was lousy for all of us with the pandemic, and there was a lot of good momentum that unfortunately the pandemic took away. But to see it come back in the fashion that it did, as we went through the merger, we were saying to ourselves, you know, obviously St. Louis was a hallmark standard franchise, and if we could make it work with Dewey and Jillian and the Dome staff, we wanted to put the championship game here, and we're thrilled that we could.
So pretty cool, and I think that's what most people expected, and most people understand that the passion here, and that's one of the things that Pat Ruffino said also, that there was clear passion here for the game, and he made the point that even if the Battlehawks aren't in that championship game, that this is a place that could really support that game, that if you're going to have it on a neutral site, which of course if the Battlehawks are here, it won't necessarily be neutral, but if you're going to have it at a neutral site, you want to have it somewhere where you feel like that neutral site can be worthwhile. And it's the same concept as having the first four in Dayton, Ohio. It's a place that supports it, and it's a rabid college basketball fan base. That's the reason that the initial play-in game there, when it was just a single game, started there, and that's the reason that the first four has been there since the first four began. You want that atmosphere, even if it is a neutral site. We will talk more college basketball, specifically some Billikens college basketball and their coaching search, with Stu Durando, who covers the Billikens and has for quite some time for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch and STLtoday.com. When we come back here as the Graybar Sports Open line continues, I'm Joe Pott in for Matt Pauly. Keep it here on Camo X.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Your home of the Cardinals.
Arenado swings and hits it deep to left field. That ball is out of here.
The Billikens.
Jumper. Yes! Billikens win!
The Chiefs.
Touchdown! Kansas City!
We are America's sports voice, KMOX.
And that'll put the end to the Billikens season. 10-point game, 83-73. The Bills had some chances to cut into that double-digit lead and got it to 5 a couple of times. But in the end, Duquesne wins their 21st game of the season, and they'll move on in the Atlantic 10 tournament.
That, of course, was Bob Ramsey right here on KMOX as the Billikens men's basketball season came to an end last week in Brooklyn. They did win a first-round game in the tournament, but they dropped that one to Duquesne, who, by the way, did go on to win the A-10 tournament last week. Joe Pott in for Matt Pauly. Graybar Sports Open Line continues here on KMOX as we talk a little Billikens basketball. We welcome in Stu Durando from the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, stltoday.com, who covers the Billikens extensively. And, of course, Stu, after that game, it was, in fact, later that night on Wednesday that we found out they were going to indeed make a coaching change. I don't think anybody necessarily surprised that they were moving on from Travis Ford, but he did have a fairly long tenure there at St. Louis University.
Yeah. Well, first of all, hello, Joe. Have a long time, no talk.
Yep.
And thanks for having me.
No, for sure. Thanks for doing it.
Yeah, Travis was around for, boy, he's around for 8 years, longer than, longer than maybe some people thought he would be, longer than most St. Louis U coaches have been over the years. And just the last year ended up being too much of a giant divot and, you know, finishing 14th out of 15 in the A-10, below expectations, but below expectations for several years in a row. And, you know, it was time to move on and start the search.
It's really hard, I think, and it's really different to be a college basketball head coach now. It's not just – I heard somebody before – I don't even know who I was – I think it was when I was at the Ohio Valley Conference Tournament and just chatting with folks about it used to be you would have a little bit of an off season, then you would start the summer recruiting, and there was this sort of schedule. And now it's literally like – kids are looking for their next opportunity and what is a better opportunity and what else is out there. I mean, it quite literally is free agency at this point.
Yeah. You know, today was, I guess, the official opening day of the portal, if there is such a thing, but you know, there was already a list on some websites of, you know, 100, 200 guys before, you know, over the weekend of people who were going to enter the portal. So, you know, players are wanting to get in there and have their names out there immediately. You've got teams declining NIT bids. Some of them, just, I think, saying that, you know, we want to get a jump on this stuff.
Right.
We don't want to wait around for 2 or 3 weeks. We want to get a jump on the portal and start building for next year. So, yeah, literally it can end. You know, if you find out you're not in the NCAA tournament on Sunday, and on Monday morning or even Sunday night, you're starting to work on your roster for the next season.
It's just so different, and I think that is a challenge, obviously, that it's not just a challenge, obviously, for the coaches themselves. It's a challenge for somebody, in this case, Chris May, the athletic directors, that have to go out and sort of navigate that when they are looking to bring in their next head coach. It just adds a whole nother wrinkle.
Yeah, and I talked to Chris about that a little bit. You know, last time when they hired Travis before the portal and right. NIL days, it was a good, I want to say 3 weeks after the season ended, before they hired a coach, maybe just short of 3 weeks. And, you know, it seemed like 3 months really, but, he, you know, he knows there's kind of a, condensed, schedule that you have to at least try to accomplish something and get your ducks in order so that you can start, whoever that person is going to be can start looking at things, how it looks for that particular team. And so, you know, people say the coaching search started, you know, the day after Travis was let go, but in all likelihood, they were reaching out to potential candidates to gauge interest, you know, weeks ago.
Stu Durando with us here from the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, STLtoday.com. Yeah, I don't think there's any question that most athletic directors, right, have at least a small list or a group that they feel like they might be able to touch base with if they do, in fact, have to make a coaching change. Do you have any sense of any, maybe even if it's not specific candidates, where they're looking, what kind of coach, you know, they're looking for, anything like that coming out or that you have an inkling to?
Yeah, I was actually going to ask Chris about that list that you always hear about. You know, if he can open his desk drawer and just pull out that supposed list that always exists. But so we know based on what people are saying and what I've been told is that they have definitely talked to Josh Schertz at Indiana State, and the depth of those talks is unknown. You know, is it just, yes, I'm interested, let's talk more, or, you know, have they gotten into details? Josh Schertz isn't commenting, as he should not, since he's working his team into the NIT this week. I think it's similar to what they wanted last time, in that they want a college experienced head coach with possibly NCAA tournament experience. Schertz does not have NCAA tournament experience because Indiana State didn't get in. But I think, you know, they want someone along those lines who has shown and will display in interviews that they know what they're doing in terms of managing the portal and working with name, image, likeness, and that whole new world in the last couple of years. So I don't think they're looking at particularly up-and-coming assistant coaches. I don't think they're looking at the NBA per se, although Blake Ahern's name has come up quite a bit. I think that the lack of success by former NBA assistants in college basketball is probably prompting them to shy away from that area. So someone like Schertz fits, you know, maybe and a bunch of other names who may be second or third on the list, but we don't know who might be second or third on the list at this point, other than just guessing at names that make sense.
And when you're, I mean, in my mind anyway, when you're looking at somebody like a Schertz who has had the kind of success where in all likelihood the resources are much less, right, than they would be coming here to St. Louis. I mean, I think that's intriguing about a coach that has been able to show that they can do that with some of those lesser resources. And I certainly feel like St. Louis is nicely positioned with the NIL collective that they are starting and the help that they have to student athletes. I mean, ultimately, that's what it's going to come down to. Can you attract the student athletes? So the resources and what's available to you here, you obviously have an absolutely beautiful facility in which to play. I mean, I feel like the Billikens are well positioned here to attract a high quality candidate.
Right. You're right. And first, I should kind of correct myself. Schertz does not have Division I NCAA tournament experience,
right.
But Division II, his teams were dominant. I mean, I think he went to 9, went to 3 Final Fours in D2. So that being said, but yeah, they've got, you've been in that arena obviously a few times. Great arena. They've got a nice practice facility. They've got a new facility for athletes, for academics, and nutrition. And I believe they have an NIL office to help kids with NIL, that type of thing. They've got, they've got the money too. I mean,
right.
What the money that Schertz or somebody's going to be offered might be, you know, 5 times more than they're making right now. And that's a thing for a coach who's moving up, would probably be hard to say no to if they found all the other conditions were good. So yeah, there's a lot of good stuff over at SLU in terms of resources and support from the administration.
And the thing, obviously you mentioned it already, that timetable is a little bit more crunched compared to when they ultimately brought in Travis Ford. And you've got to kind of balance that between like a guy like Schertz, whose team's going to the NIT, and maybe if there is a candidate or two whose teams, you know, are going on into the NCAA tournament right now. That's hard to balance when you want to get things done, but you're also waiting on what, you know, Coach A, B, or C may or may not be still doing.
Yeah, big time. You almost, from SLU's perspective, and if they're really set on getting Schertz, you maybe wanted them in the NCAA tournament where they might not make as long a run as they could in the NIT. 8 years ago, Bryce Drew was in the mix, and his Valparaiso team went to the championship game of the NIT, and that was all going on while they were talking to Travis Ford and a couple of other guys. And so, yeah, that can complicate matters. So they just got to sit back, I guess, and have a plan B and plan C in place working, just so that they're set. And if something doesn't go as they see that it might right now.
Yeah, it is. It's going to be interesting. It's fascinating to me. I mean, the whole off season and transfers and who's going where, whether it's coaches or players, is all it's fascinating. I guess it's more fascinating for those of us that maybe don't have a stake in it quite so much. But I appreciate you taking some time tonight, Stu. It was good to catch up. Good to talk a little about the Billikens. And like I said, there's going to be plenty to follow over the next few weeks or so.
Yeah, it's going to be very busy.
Certainly appreciate it. Thanks, Stu. That's Stu Durando from the St. Louis Post-Dispatch and STLtoday.com. Joe Roderick is going to join us on the other side of the break. We can talk all kinds of sports with Joe, and we'll do that. It's the Graybar Sports Open Line. I'm Joe Pott, in for Matt Pauly. It continues after this on Camo X.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line, live from Cardinals Spring Training and the D.R. Hughes Homes Broadcast Center. Once again, Matt Pauly on Camo X.
It is the Graybar Sports Open Line. Joe Pott in for Matt Pauly tonight and tomorrow. Love being able to talk to Joe Roderick, who is our next guest. I think we can talk a variety of topics. We'll probably stick to a little Cardinal baseball. But right now, Joe is traversing the country, making his way back from Jupiter, Florida. Where are you at right now, Joe?
I'm about an hour outside of Atlanta right now. I flew in. I left at 5:15 this morning from St. Louis to get down to West Palm. That's when Klaibs picked me up. I grabbed the car and started driving. So at Klaibs Online, we have a car sponsor that gives us a car for Klaibs to drive down after the winter warm-up. So he has had it down there, and now with the spring training in Jupiter starting to wrap up here as the week goes on, I need to take the car back to St. Louis. So it's something we've done now for the last 3 years. Usually I have been able to tie it into something else. 2 years ago, I did the Daytona 500. Last year, I was down there for the full week of the World Baseball Classic. But this year, it's a much shorter, quick trip back home.
Are you going to drive it all tonight?
Oh, God, no.
I was like, wait a minute. A shorter, quick trip. Like, wow.
I am staying the night with friends in Atlanta tonight. So okay. I have about an hour and a half left of the drive.
All right.
Last year, I did go the whole route. I woke up at like 4 a.m. after the World Baseball Champion Classic. I woke up at 4 a.m. and made the trip all the way back to Belleville in one day. And I would very much like to never, ever do that again.
Man, I have done similar drives. I've driven all the way to Orlando and then come back. We didn't quite come back from Orlando. We went, but anyway, that is neither here nor there. My goodness. Okay, so as you head into Atlanta, let's talk a little Cardinals baseball. So Miles Michaelis, probably not a surprise. That's kind of who I thought they were going to go to for that opening day start. Any indication or thoughts on how mild or not mild this strain is for Sonny Gray? I know he did throw a bullpen at the end of last week.
I mean, from the people that I've talked to, I mean, obviously Klaibs would be one of them. I don't get the sense of fear out of the Sonny Gray injury. I don't get the sense of worry that maybe you get with, like, the Tommy Edman injury. That one,
right.
With Sonny Gray, it's like, okay, minor setback, and it seems like everybody in Cardinal camp kind of looks at it and is like, okay, you know what? Hey, it's going to be okay. He's going to pitch, and, you know, once they ramp it up to game speed, if it holds up, okay, we're good. So I'm not so much worried about that. The Tommy Edman one, just, it's a head-scratcher, isn't it? I mean, we're looking at, are we going to see him by June right now? I mean, that's kind of what I'm thinking, is that we're, you know, this is going to be a long, extended thing that I think we went into spring training thinking, oh, okay, you know, maybe by the end of, you know, by the end of March, maybe he'll be ready to play in some games. And now it's not looking good at all.
It is exactly, I think, exactly what you said. The fact that it continues to drag on, and it's not like we're like, oh, it's getting better, but it's not quite there yet. It's not. They're there at the point, obviously, where it's like we're still not at, you know, able to swing a bat. That's what's so weird to me, yes, that it continues to drag on. And like you said, that's what's worrisome about that injury.
And it's also, too, when I was down there for spring training, he wasn't hitting. He wasn't doing much practicing. They were working on bunting drills and just, you know, minor infield stuff. And he was out there at the shortstop position then. Like, he was out there not going all out, but he had a glove. He was participating in the drills at half speed. So he's out there doing that. And to look back at that now and think, that was the second, third week of February, and, okay, he's still not ready at all. You start to wonder, like, where the setback happened and what kind of information we're not hearing about everything involved in the injury and in the recovery for it. And I guess what could have been prevented, or what could have happened maybe earlier in the offseason to maybe prevent this.
So what does the opening day outfield look like? Because it's not going to include Lars Nootbaar either, obviously, with the rib injuries.
Last week on the weekly show I do with Claves, I asked him point blank, what is Victor Scott's chance of making the opening day roster? And last week he said 50-50. I think, and that's where right now you look at it. I mean, Jordan Walker is your right fielder.
Sure,
Jordan Walker is in there. He is batting sixth in the lineup. He is in right field every single day.
And I expect Dylan Carlson will be the center fielder if Tommy Edman is coming back, right?
And that's where the Victor Scott question comes into play, because if Victor Scott makes the opening day roster, he needs to be in center field five, six days a week, right? You can't bring him up here and just have him platoon with Dylan Carlson and Alec Burleson and Brendan Donovan as a rotating, you know, two out of those four guys are going to play every day. If Victor Scott makes the opening day roster, he has to play every single day. And I think this kind of opens up more questions, because with Lars Nootbaar out, with Tommy Edman out, and if you're going to sit here and say that Victor Scott's not ready for opening day or ready to be on a major league roster yet, or you're going to look at his, not want to start his clock yet, tell me who the fourth guy on the bench is right now. Because you have Herrera, you have Carpenter, you have Crawford. Who's that fourth guy on the bench? Because has there been another name that has jumped out at you at spring training right now that deserves that spot, has earned that spot, outside of a guy like Victor Scott has?
That's a really good question. I don't have the answer to that. I also didn't get – I haven't been in Jupiter, so I don't have the firsthand knowledge that you and other folks have about that. But I do think it's interesting what you say about Victor Scott, and I'll add this only – My own personal thought is that I feel like that I don't think we owe it to Dylan Carlson to give him those opportunities, because I think that he's had those opportunities and hasn't cashed in on those opportunities. So if there's opportunities to be given, in my opinion, my thought, then they should be given to a Victor Scott as opposed to a Dylan Carlson in this case.
And maybe that's kind of what they're looking at, of saying, you know, here's your final chance. We're lighting the fire under you. We're giving you the opening day spot. We already chose to keep you over Tyler O'Neill this offseason when we were looking to trade away an outfielder. and we haven't traded you away. And maybe that's nobody else is bit at the offers that the Cardinals have been looking for when it comes to trading away a guy like Dylan Carlson. So I think you hope, and you know, you hope maybe those first 2-3 weeks something happens to where he's a serviceable center fielder for you and everybody else kind of picks up around him in the lineup. But I think maybe that's what you're looking at. Right now, the lineup, too, is something I'm really not concerned about either. I think 1-7, it's a really, really good, tough lineup that you have. So you don't need Dylan Carlson to step up and put up these huge numbers. And defensively, you know he's going to be okay. But I think that might be a case of, okay, we're going to give you 2-3 weeks and see what you have. And then maybe it's time for Victor Scott to come up and take that center field job from you then.
Yeah, that'll certainly be interesting to watch. What is, quickly, like, what's your feeling rotation-wise if Sonny Gray is delayed a little bit, or where do they start with, who do they plug in on the rotation? That's my question.
I think right now you look at maybe the Middleton injury right now allows you to maybe keep Libitor and Zach Thompson, keep all of those guys up on the team, and it gives you that length in the rotation, or at least in the pitching staff. It kind of stretches them out a little more because they play a lot of games. That first, you go 4 games against the Dodgers, and then you are very busy in the month of April. It really does seem like an April that we're not accustomed to seeing when it comes to Major League Baseball schedules. They play a lot of games, so you might need those 6 pitchers to go, and you might need some piggyback starts. So I do think maybe we would see starts out of Zach Thompson and Matthew Libitor in that first month of the season, regardless of Sonny Gray's health.
Drew Rahm, question mark?
From what I saw out of him last year, I liked him a lot. Looking at, seeing the highlights of him when he pitched in AAA in Baltimore and seeing the few starts he had last year in a lost season for the team where he was just thrown out there every fifth day, there was something about him that I really, really liked. But we haven't heard his name mentioned
right
at all when it comes to being a part of the Cardinals' plans for this year. So in my mind, I've kind of written that off because you had 7 guys that you looked at for a rotation and Drew Rahm's name was never coming up. So there's something they're not seeing. I like him. I hope that he gets a chance or maybe just shines in AAA to where if given the opportunity, he comes up here and has a good few starts with the Cardinals.
Well, Joe Roderick, thanks for taking some time because obviously all you have is time. Get to Atlanta safely and hope the entire journey is safe and uneventful for you.
Yeah, it's 9 hours tomorrow too, so any radio stations, any shows that want to have me on, I got nothing but time to talk. I will be America's guest tomorrow if anybody needs to book me.
That is a good deal. Thanks, Joe. Always appreciate it, man.
Absolutely, Joe. See ya.
Joe Roderick with us here talking some Cardinals baseball. We're going to wrap things up of this edition of the Gray Bar Sports Open Line. Joe Pod in for Matt Pauly. We're coming back after this on KMOX. It's the final segment of the Gray Bar Sports Open Line here on a Monday night. Joe Pot in for Matt Pauly. And, of course, coming up after us is Late Night with Hancock and Kelly. At least part of the crew is in front of me here in studio.
Part of the crew's in town.
That's right.
Part of the crew is out of town.
Out of
Hard
town.
To believe.
So John Hancock is here.
Yes.
Michael Kelly is not, but will be joining you virtually, if you will.
Yes, through the magic of whatever magic
That's exactly, yeah. Exactly. Are you an NCAA tournament guy?
A little bit. Yeah. I don't follow it that closely. I'm more of a baseball, hockey, football guy. I do like college football.
Yep.
But I'm less college basketball. But I am rooting for the Illini. I think they've got an interesting little pathway ahead.
For certain they do. I believe so as well. And they certainly helped themselves out with the Big Ten tournament championship. But I think that part of the reason that I am such a NCAA tournament guy, other than the fact that I spent a lot of time with college basketball.
Yeah.
But I feel like you can be the casual fan and enjoy
yeah.
what is enjoy the drama, enjoy everything that goes into, especially that first weekend, right? Thursday, Friday, like,
yeah,
man, it's hard to beat.
Back-to-back-to-back games, and there's always a surprise. There's going to be a 14-15. Somebody's going to win
that first day.
And, I mean, that's good. Is there a sleeper out there that you see maybe finding its way to the Elite Eight or the Final Four?
Man, I mean, not that I have, like, looked to pick out just yet.
You've not completed the bracket.
No, I have not. I have a blank bracket in front of me. So I just wanted to have the reference at least so I had some sort of knowledge going in. But it's like you said. I mean, there's going to be a double-digit seed that is going to upset someone and win a couple of games and go on a run. And that's what's so fun about it. What are you getting into tonight? What's on the docket?
Well, Michael was on the golf course today, and he witnessed a hole in one.
Well, he witnessed a hole in one.
Yes.
So it wasn't him. It was someone.
Yeah, it's as close as he's ever gotten, though. So we're going to talk about that. He's got this theory that dogs really kind of get screwed over because they can't pick their owners. And so we're going to break that down for the people. Going to visit with our NFL insider. A lot of movements in the free agent market this week in the NFL. That'll be interesting. Michael's got a great story about a famous Irishman from St. Louis named Robert Hannigan, who at one time was responsible for picking the president of the United States. So we're going to have that story in the 9 o'clock hour. A little history.
I'm intrigued by both of those stories: the dog and the owner, and the Irishman who's picking the president.
Yeah, and somebody saw Kate Middleton walking down the street today. That's good news for all of us, like the royal family. So we try not to do a lot of politics on Monday.
I understand how it goes. I like all of those topics. All sound. Did you partake in any St. Patrick's Day festivities yesterday?
I did not.
No.
Now I did wear a green tie.
Okay.
But other
he's
than
still,
that,
you're still sporting your green today.
I got a green on. Well,
so
kind of
right.
a lingering effect.
There's probably a lot of people that have a lingering effect this afternoon.
Yeah,
or today.
I'll bet that's right. Yeah, yeah. And I didn't get to play any snooker yesterday. I was upset about that. But you know, every life has its trials, Joe.
Well, we look forward to all of that. It's Late Night with Hancock and Kelly. It comes up after us here. Right here on Camo X. Thanks so much to Pat Ruffino. Thanks to Luke Korak. Thanks to Stu Durando. Thanks to Joe Roderick and everybody for tuning in tonight to Graybar Sports Open Line. I am back with you in this seat tomorrow night, filling in for Matt Pauly as well. And then I think Cardinal Baseball on Wednesday. Matt will be back this week, though, so never fear. You only have me for one more night. Thanks, Matt Pajeski, behind the board, running things as always, making it a smooth ride. I'm Joe Pott. I'll talk to you tomorrow here on your home of the Cardinals, Camo X.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.